Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Long before any of us were born, God set in motion His creation. This involved decisions He made in eternity past. Theologians call these decisions decrees, non-negotiable orders God laid down that govern how He relates to nature and mankind. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the mysteries of God. Now, join us for a look at God's eternal decrees.
The mysteries of God. I'm sure that you understand that I feel very inadequate to be able to preach these messages, but I do so because God has revealed Himself. And we should probe God to the extent that we can as human beings. What do we hope to accomplish in these messages? Well, that we might know God and find delight in Him. That we might know that we are headed to an eternity where we are going to enjoy Him forever and understand more and more of who He is. And that will be an infinite field of study and worship. You know, if God had not revealed Himself, we'd be very confused, would we? We look at the great calamities that take place in the world. I mean, we're talking about tsunamis and mudslides and floods and earthquakes, and we think, well, God was mad at us. And then as we looked at nature and there were times when it was so beautiful, we'd say, you know, maybe God likes us after all. We'd have no clue about God. We wouldn't even know whether there was only one God or whether there were many gods. And whether or not He cares for us individually, we'd never know that unless God has spoken. And thankfully, He has. Today, we're going to get into some very deep water. No question about it. But I believe that God will enable us to stay focused, take away all distractions, put away all thoughts that are crowding upon your mind at this moment, and let us concentrate together on the greatness and the wonder of our God. If you're a teenager, listen carefully, because at the end we're going to discover that this deep theological message, which I think it's going to be, has tremendous rewards, and we're all going to be able to take something home at the end of the message that will be transforming. So stay with me. Today I'm speaking on the decrees of God. And very briefly, though there are a number of definitions, I'm simply saying that the decrees of God have to do with the decisions that God made in eternity past regarding everything that will come to pass, that has come to pass and will come to pass. Easily said, difficult to understand, but very rewarding to contemplate. You know, the decrees of God, I'm going to just give you some verses of Scripture. This message is theological in the sense that it's going to encompass many passages, not necessarily zeroing in on one particular one as we usually do. Psalm 103, verse 9, the Lord has established His throne in the heavens. His kingdom rules over all. Isaiah 14, the Lord of hosts has sworn, I have planned, so shall it be. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. This is the purpose that is purposed concerning the whole earth. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? Isaiah 46, remember this and stand firm. Recall to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purposes. Wow. Job, I know that you can do all things and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. The decrees of God. I invite you today to to this message based on the majesty, the greatness of God. Let us expand our understanding of Him and our role in His world and purposes. Let me give you four characteristics of the decrees of God. Number one is that they are eternal. They are eternal. Very critical. You know, you and I, when we make a decision, what do? We try to gather facts. We talk to other people to try to figure out whether or not this is a wise decision. God has never had to do that, because all the facts have always been known to Him from eternity past. And therefore, when I talk about the decisions of God, follow this carefully. When I speak about the decisions of God, they aren't decisions like you and I make after He gathered all the facts. These decisions, as it were, have been a part of who He is since eternity past. And do you remember the first message in this series was indeed on God in eternity past? Breathtaking. So these have been a part of Him. And as a result of that, think of what this means for you as a Christian. You have been known by God and chosen by God for as long as God has existed. Aren't you glad He was here before you were born and knew all about you? You know that you say, well, give me a verse of Scripture. All right, I'll give you one. I'll give you two. They're free today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, you were chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. You say, well, you know, that was long before the world was created and the universe, but maybe not as far as eternity. Oh, really? Well, then I'll give you another verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, God saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ before times eternal, is what the Greek text says, from all eternity. Amen. That's how long you've been known by God. And that's why your life contains no surprises to Him. He's not saying, now I wonder if He's going to live up to all that I've given Him. God is noticing you, but no surprises to God. He knows you. And you know what? It's a good thing that He knew us in eternity past, so that when we showed up, He wouldn't reject us. Isn't that great? I'm glad that He knows us that well. It is an eternal decree as long as God existed. If you look at this series of messages, by the way, and I need to throw this in, you say, well, which message is most important of the mysteries of God? Well, they're all incredibly important. But I have to tell you, next week, you are going to be absolutely blown away. I'm going to speak about the Trinity. And you know, the Trinity has always been a problem to be solved. I'm going to show it's a blessing to be enjoyed. You are going to understand God the Father as perhaps you've never understood Him before. And so be sure to be here. Bring your friends, because we're talking about the mysteries of God. Number one, the decrees are all eternal. Number two, God made them freely. God made them freely. You know, it says in Isaiah chapter 40, who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows Him counsel? Whom did He consult? Who made Him understand? Who taught Him the path of justice and taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? When God decided all these things, and I'm using the word decided because that's the only way we can talk, when God in His infinite existence had all these decisions already made, did He call a committee and say, you know, I need some handlers. I mean, I need some input here. So let's get a council together and let's find out what other people think about this. No, the Bible is very clear. Nobody gave Him counsel. He did whatever. You need a verse. Of course you do. As I say, they're free today. Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He has pleased. Wow. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, we give you praise, O God, Creator, for thou hast created all things, and by thy will, we could say, by your own good pleasure, they were created. You know, you and I, we talk about freedom of the will, and I'm going to be mentioning that briefly, but we are so limited as human beings, aren't we? I mean, we didn't choose the parents we had, we didn't choose where we would be born, we didn't choose when we would be born. We could have been born in a different century. We have so many different limitations already built into our nature, which is predominantly sinful. But God, when he decided to create and to choose this plan, was totally free. He could have said, I'm not creating anything because I'm satisfied with my relationship with the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we'll discuss that next week. But remember, he did it freely. There's a third characteristic, and that is that God encompasses all things. The decree includes all things. You say, give me that verse. All right, I have one for you. Just happen to have one. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. We were predestined, the Bible says, we were predestined according to God's plan. And he goes on to say that Ephesians 1, 11, according to him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. If this were a three-hour message, I could give you verse after verse to show that the decree of God encompasses everything. It encompasses nature. It is God who decided to create, and he decided on the number of stars, and there are billions upon billions, but he knows their number, and he keeps track of them. So where did all that come from? God, and he spoke the word. He encompasses all the nature, all the animals. You know, you look at a rhinoceros and you say, now, what was God thinking, right? What was he thinking? Did he have a sense of humor? And then you think of the mosquito. I often have asked God, now, what were you thinking when you made the mosquitoes? You see, it encompasses all of nature. It encompasses all of history. It is God, the Bible says, who raises up people over nations, and then he takes them down. I could give you a verse. Promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is judge. He brings down one, and he puts up another. And Daniel says, he is the one who chooses who are the leaders of men, and sometimes over them puts the basis of men. And history is certainly borne that out. And then what do you think about the history of Jesus dying on the cross? The Bible says this in Acts chapter 4, verse 27, for truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate among the Gentiles and the people of Israel. Now catch this. You are focused. I know you are. To do whatever your hand and your plan predestined to occur. Sometimes people say, Pastor, do you believe in predestination? Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. All Christians believe in predestination. The word occurs many times in the New Testament. The debate is exactly over how it should be understood. But here, the death of Jesus Christ was predestined to occur, and it occurred at the time that God chose it to occur. All under his sovereign hand. History, it has been said, is God's story. Now, what about salvation? What about salvation itself? Now, I want you to think with me, and I know you are, but I just want you to grasp this. Was the fall of man in God's economy plan B? Did God say plan A is that Adam and Eve walk with me and they don't sin and they live in paradise? That's plan A. But you know what happened is they sinned, and so I have to do plan B. I'm going to send Jesus to clean up the mess. Is that the way it was? No. Redemption was in God's heart for as long as God existed. Amen. He created in order that he might redeem. How could we possibly be chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world if God back then wasn't already thinking redemptively about Jesus coming to redeem us? Of course, redemption was in God's heart from the beginning. All things are encompassed by the divine decree. I told you we were getting into some deep water, but isn't it thrilling water to know that God ultimately has all things in his hands? Now listen very carefully. God would never have chosen a plan that would go horribly wrong unless he intended to use that plan for his own glory. Do I need to say that again? God would never have chosen a plan where things would go horribly wrong, and clearly things have gone horribly wrong. God would have never chosen a plan like that were it not for the fact that he would use this terrible wrong ultimately for his glory. It has to be that way, because everything is for the glory of God. You say, well, explain to me exactly how, you know, the terrible events in the Middle East or the terrible mudslide or the tsunami and all these dead people. Explain to me how this brings glory to God. I can't do that in detail. We have some hints because, well, one of the limitations I have is I'm not God, so my explanation fails here. But we do trust that that's exactly what the Bible teaches. And, you know, it does say that his judgments are unsearchable. We should search them out to the extent that we can, but we do have very great limitations. Let me give you a couple of verses. As I say, they're free today. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has given him a gift, and now he owes a gift to that person in return? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Notice this. Everything is from God. Everything is through God. Everything is for God. And so everything has an appointed end, even evil. Wow, he doesn't do evil, but he uses evil. There's a fourth characteristic of the divine decree, and that is that it is all for God's glory. I've already emphasized that. It's all for God's glory. We could go through Isaiah and find out that God says, I created everything for my glory. We could go to Jeremiah, the whole house of Israel was chosen for my glory. We could go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, that we were chosen to live for the praise of his glory. John Piper points out that God is relentlessly self-serving. Everything has to do with him. You say, well, I don't like that very much. Why, he doesn't like the ego in us. Why does God have such a big ego? Well, you have to understand something. Because he's God, he's going to value that which is most valuable in the whole universe, which happens to be himself. And so obviously, because he's God and we aren't, he has the right to do everything for his own glory. You say, I don't like this God. I can imagine somebody listening to this is saying that. Well, isn't that something? You don't like this God. So you think God is going to change because you don't like him? I don't think so. You could become angry with him, which is a bad reaction and a fruitless reaction. You could, on the other hand, submit to his sovereignty and find life eternal. Now, I have to deal with one objection, which, of course, is in your mind, and I can't do this in detail. I've actually written about this because in the history of the church, there's a great deal of debate and discussion regarding free will. It's a complicated topic, not as easy as you may think. So how does this relate to man's free will? Well, the point is, first of all, God always works through the human will to bring about his purpose. He never violates the will. There's nobody out there who says, well, I don't want to do this. And God says, yeah, I've predestined you to do it. God will work in their hearts to bring about a disposition to do something. So he never violates the will. We aren't puppets. On the other hand, the Bible is very clear, and this is where we are on the edge of mystery, and certainly even beyond the edge of mystery, that God does hold people accountable for their actions. No question about it. If you ask exactly how that relates with his sovereignty, nobody has ever been able to satisfactorily figure all that out. We know that both are revealed in the Bible. Well, this is Pastor Luther. You know, when I began this series of messages titled The Mysteries of God, I knew that we would be into mystery. That was the whole point. But I'm deeply convinced that even though God is mysterious, and even though we cannot perhaps satisfactorily be able to explain, you know, free will versus predestination, or perhaps more accurately, human responsibility and predestination, the simple fact is that God does hold us responsible. And yet at the same time, we know that salvation is entirely his work. And that's why I'm saying to you today that if you have within yourself a desire to believe on Christ, if as a result of listening to this message, you want to pursue God more, and there's an emptiness within you that only God can fill, would you turn to Jesus Christ? And in Jesus Christ, yes, we continue to wrestle with the mysteries of God, but Jesus did say, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So we get to the Father through Jesus Christ. And then from my heart to yours, if as a result of our ministry we are a blessing to you, if you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, for example, we'd love to be able to hear from you. Just go to moodymedia.org. By the way, I hope that that's a website that you go to often, moodymedia.org, and there you will find a contact button. Let us know what running to win means to you, because we exist for your walk with God. The mysteries of God. I'm sure that you understand that I feel very inadequate to be able to preach these messages, but I do so because God has revealed himself. And we should probe God to the extent that we can as human beings.
Erwin Lutzer takes on a really big challenge.
So far in the book of Job, ask this question, canst thou by searching find out God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? The answer, of course, is no, you can't. But I believe that God is honored if we try.
In our series on The Mysteries of God, we'll come to grips with issues including the eternality of God, the omniscience of God, and God's eternal decrees. And we'll find out why we should be concerned about mysteries like these.
So you see, what we want to do is to ultimately increase our faith. And I'll also share with you what to do when the mysteries become too great. Where do we flee? That'll be in a future message, I'm sure.
The Mysteries of God is a series of 8 talks by Dr. Lutzer, probing things we cannot fully comprehend but want to understand. This CD set can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. To ask why God does what he does is to go where angels fear to tread. Next time on Running to Win, more teaching on God's eternal decrees. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.